Palmetto Mornings on WRHI and CN2.
All right, good Tuesday morning to you. 7:15, 57 degrees. You've landed right here on Palmetto Mornings, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
I'm Alex Greenwald.
We always love to welcome in our listeners who are listening on the radio, on television, and on social media. Just simply search CN2 or WRHI, and you'll be good to go. We're going to get right to our next guest. We've got a lot of information to share and a short amount of time to do it. David Hooper is the RFATS director. RFATS stands for the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. They just had their monthly policy committee meeting the other day. David comes in to kind of recap some of the headlines from that meeting. And good morning to you, David.
Well, good morning. Good to be back with you.
Happy to have you.
We're having a fantastic interview before the microphones turned on so the rest of the world can hear us. And we're trying to understand to get to a point where roads are in the ground.
Right, right.
There are a lot of hurdles we have to overcome. One of those hurdles, which one is towards the end of the journey, so to speak, is having to do with the environment. Now, you're going to get technical for a second, so we're going to take a quick detour. He's going to get technical. They're going to get the car back on the road, and we'll go from there. So explain what we're talking about here, David.
Absolutely. You know, when we undertake the transportation planning process, there are certain urbanized areas that have additional variables, and RFATS is one of them. In fact, we're the only MPO in the state that is a designated maintenance area by EPA for regional air quality. And what that means to us is, with all the growth we see and all the traffic we're trying to address, we can't just go out and build a road or widen a road without meeting these additional requirements. It's what we call conformity. This is the technical part. This is where we, in effect, have to track all of our two-lane roads, our three lanes, our five lanes, and what are the speed limits and where are the streetlights at to get a good sense of how cars are going to move and where they're going to idle and where they're going to be able to get from point A to point B. And we take all those aggregate emissions and we have to run them through an air quality test as a way to demonstrate to the EPA and to other federal agencies that we're not going to inadvertently make matters worse by building a new lane or widening a road. In effect, this is the federal government's way of watching us to say, don't try to just widen your way out of it. We want you to think holistically about how people move around, whether they're in a vehicle, they're using transit, they're riding a bicycle, they're on a multi-use path, and so on.
Well, and David, you mentioned earlier as businesses and big industries are coming into this area, beyond just the local development, they're looking at these economic implications here. And why does that matter so much to them coming into this community?
That's an excellent point. It's one that I can't stress the importance of enough, which is when businesses look at this area, with all of our growth, they're looking at this area. We all know the phrase, businesses follow rooftops. Well, one of the first things businesses do when they look to come into the area is they say, is this an area that has special environmental requirements? Because they have to take that into account to their cost of doing business and in making a locational decision. So in answering your question, you know, they do look at us and say, okay, they're in maintenance. You know, are there any additional requirements? Because there are certain kinds of businesses that would be impacted, and it does impact us favorably or sometimes negatively, as the case may be.
So this discussion that took place recently during the RFATS meeting regarding this topic, was there a decision that needed to be made, or was it just an update regarding future projects that are coming down the pipeline?
Right. It was more of an approval, which is, you know, whenever we update our planning documents, which we do routinely, there are decision points in that process where we work not just within RFATS but with SCDOT And when we add new projects as one of those points, they say, now we want you to go through, incorporate the new projects, any changes in population and employment, and then retest the air quality outcomes to make sure that you're still in balance with the environmental considerations. And we had presented this information to the policy committee on Friday that we got good results and we passed all of our tests, as we always have, and they granted approval to us to go ahead and proceed.
David, has there ever been a situation where everything has been checked off, right? It's got the approval, it's got the funding, the road can be widened or a new road can be put in here, and the study of the through the EPA looks at it and says there's no way it's going to violate our policy.
Right. Thankfully, no, for RFATs, we've always met our requirements. There are other MPOs where they do run into this problem and they have to go back to their drawing board and they have to think, okay, do I need to move this project out further than I want to be? They may have to wait for a particular change in the vehicle mix. You know, the percentage of trucks, motorcycles, cars influences things. We've not had that problem. And I think one of the reasons we've been able to avoid that, given all of our growth, is we are also eligible for what's called CMAQ funding, which is targeted money from Washington to address areas that are designated maintenance, as we are. And what we've done is we've smartly employed that at some of our key intersections, because you can imagine where cars are standing and idling for prolonged periods of times, that's where the most emissions are coming out, particularly during the summer. Mm-hmm. So by upgrading those targeted points and making them function as efficiently and safely as they can be, I think we've been able to keep ourselves below the needle.
And by making them more efficient, is that speeding up the light? Is that what does that look like for the driver who's just trying to get from point A to point B?
Electric vehicles.
Correct, yeah.
That plays a role as well, electric vehicles. But a lot of it is looking at the operating dynamics on a particular corridor, which is it could be adding an additional turn lane. Maybe we've got high demand during peak periods, and that extra turn lane will help clear people turning from one place to another. Obviously, making other improvements along that corridor to reduce the potential for accidents, because accidents cause that delay. That's one of the offshoots of that. Also, adjusting the signal timing. It may be that in the mornings where you've got more people stacking up to go to work or to come home, you want to extend the amount of green time that's there. If it's 60 seconds, maybe 90 or higher or so on, something like that.
Sometimes I feel like it's the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain here that's controlling the signals, but you just proved it is.
Well, one of the things we're doing to try to get at that is, you know, we've got folks at the District Office of DOT who are monitoring things at all time. If you've ever seen the film from the 1980s called War Games, where they have this wall of cameras, there's a DOT room where they're monitoring traffic and accidents and everything else. Well, one of the things we've done to try to be even faster out there that the public wouldn't even know that this is occurring is the incorporation of so-called smart signals, that the signals can perceive when there's a disruption like an accident that's a non-recurring event, and they can adjust in real time based upon the changing demand level along a corridor.
Wow, David. The little things like us as the drivers on the road don't realize that, but there's so much appreciation, respect into the thought and the studies that go on behind the scenes.
There is. We try to make it as predictable for and reliable as it can be, because we, you know, once something is built, we're not going to unbuild it.
Yeah.
So we have to make how people can get around as rational and efficient and safe as it can be. If we know getting from point A to point B is 30 minutes, we can schedule that amount of time. But if we think it's 15 and we get a surprise and it throws off our whole day, and you multiply that by how many other drivers that are out there, you have a real problem. Mm. And we try to minimize that as much as we can.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation. And again, I think for a lot of us, present company included, we'll think twice when we're at a stoplight or if traffic is backed up, why there might not be more lanes, or what's the deal with the timing of the signal and some other factors that inconvenience our day. But we have to sometimes look at the bigger picture. And we don't like to do that sometimes.
It's frustrating when we're out there. We're all trying to get from point A to point B and get home to our families or work or other place of importance. And it's hard. It tests all of our patience.
Right. Well, David Hooper, again, is the RFATS director. RFAT stands for the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transportation Study. And David will look forward to our next conversation following next month's meeting. Thank you so much.
I look forward to coming back to see you.